You know, we've been talking about a lot of different things lately, haven't we? And the Lord laid on my heart, even though I was gone most of this week, matter of fact, I was gone all this week, I was praying and seeking the Lord for a title for a topic and a title for this week. And the Lord laid on my heart late in the week this topic that you see in your bulletin, A Touch from the Master's Hand. And I've spoken to a lot of you lately, some even today, about just needing, just wanting, just desiring a touch from the Master's hand. We get into that, don't we? We just long for a touch of the Master's hand. We just long for an embrace, just long for a closer relationship with God. And so I'm going to talk about healing today. And I want you to know right now that at the end of our service, I'm going to call you forward. We want to lay hands on you and pray for you if you want that today. And so you listen to the Spirit of God as we look at some Scripture here for the next little while. Then we're going to call some of you that want to be prayed for and laid hands on and or anointed this morning. Because I know there's a lot of hurts. I know there's a lot of struggles. I know there's broken bodies and broken homes and broken marriages and broken hearts and loneliness and all manner of hurts. But I believe that we serve a great physician. I believe that we serve a very big God. And no problem that we have, even though there's lots of us and perhaps with lots of problems, I believe we serve a God in heaven that can take care of us and will take care of us. And I'm not suggesting that every ache and pain and everything will be just perfect for us on this side of glory. But I am suggesting if we know the Master, if we know Him personally, if we had invited Him to come into our life and let Him take over, He will change us and He will heal us. You say, well, Jim, I'm still in crutches or I'm still in my wheelchair. But He will heal you if you know Him. And one day as we walk the streets of gold, you can throw away the crutches and you can throw away the wheelchairs and you can throw away the cancers and the afflictions and all those other things. And some of that is even happening today. Some of that's being thrown away even today because God is real and He's still here. He's still among us and He wants to do a great work. And I'm not going to try to answer the question about why not God, why not this healing or why not this or why that. I'm not going to try to second guess God, but I am going to look at some Scripture that talk about healing. And at the end of our service, like I said, I'm going to invite a couple people to help me. I'm going to invite you forward if you want to be prayed over today. So if you want to call this a healing service, that's what we'll call it. If you want to call it something else, well, we'll call it a touch from the Master's hand. And so I want to give you some verses, and I know my time is short. I know that I've got to get through these quicker than I did the last time. And so I'm also going to invite you to take your Bible because we're going to look at it in Matthew 8 and 9. And I've asked him, don't put all those verses up here because I want you to look in your Bible. I want you to recall where Matthew 8 and 9 are for starters. And I want you to follow along with me in your Bible or the one in the pew before you. But there will be some of them on the big screen for you. I want to put some up there. And just look and see the challenge that Jesus gave his disciples and the words of Paul and when he talks about gifts. And so Luke 9. 1 and 2 is where I want to start. And so you can turn to that, or like I said, some of them will be on the big screen. But when we get to Matthew 8 and 9 specifically, I want you to follow along in your Bibles. Luke 9, 1 and 2 says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. That's what Jesus commissioned his disciples to do. To go out into the streets, into the neighborhood of everyday life, and to preach the good news of Jesus, to cast out demons, to have authority over demons and the powers of darkness, and to heal the sick. That's what he told them to do. And in 1 Corinthians 12, I think you know it well enough, we don't have to spend a lot of time in it, but Paul says very specifically in 1 Corinthians 12, when he has this list of gifts, we serve one God, these gifts are from the Spirit, these gifts are for the glory of God, and he says specifically in 1 Corinthians 12, 9, to another he gives faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles. And so, let me just say again, healing comes from God. Healing comes and miracles comes from God. But the Word of God is quite clear that Jesus instructed His disciples to go and preach the gospel, to cast out demons, and to heal the sick. And Paul says the same thing further in Corinth when he said, some of you in the church will have that gift of healing. And I believe, brothers and sisters, I believe these verses were not just for yesterday. I believe these verses are for today. Do we not serve the same Jesus, as the Bible says in Hebrews 13:8? The same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe we serve the same God who parted the Red Sea, the same Jesus who raised the dead. And I see these verses and it challenges me that some have the gift of healing. And God chooses to heal in some in different ways, of course. But I want us just to be reminded today of just a few verses from Matthew. One verse in 4 and then a bunch from 8 and 9 about the healings that Jesus did. And the commission that He gave to His disciples of healing. Go out and tell the world about Jesus and heal the sick while you're at it. Matthew 4:23 says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases among the people. And we jump to Matthew 8. You know what Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is. It's the Sermon on the Mount. And we jump to Matthew 8. And the Bible says, when He had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him, and behold, a leper came and worshipped Him. Worshipped Him. For who He was, the Lord, the Savior, the Christ, the Messiah, saying to Him, Lord, if You are willing, You can make me clean. I love this reply of Jesus when He put out, then Jesus put out His hand and touched Him, saying, I am willing. I am willing. Be cleansed. And immediately His leprosy was cleansed. And in verse 5, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to Him, pleading with Him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. And further on in the story, verse 13, He tells the centurion, go your way as you have believed. You see, He came to Jesus believing. He came to Jesus believing. He'd heard about this Messiah. He'd heard about the Master. He'd heard about this Savior. And He felt if He could do something for somebody, He can do something for me. And that's the way we need to come. Will He always answer every prayer exactly like I want it? Maybe not. But He will answer your prayers. He will heal. He will change us. And He will draw us closer to Himself. And He said to the centurion, go your way as you believe, so let it be done. The Bible says His servant was healed the same hour. Verse 14, Peter's mother-in-law had a fever. You know the story. You can see the verse. Jesus saw that. Let me start over. When Jesus had come to Peter's house, He saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So He touched her hand and the fever left her and she arose and served them. Verse 16, when evening had come, they brought to Him many who were demon-possessed, and He cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. It didn't matter if it was leprosy, didn't matter if it was paralysis or fever or sickness, He healed them. And in verse 28, He tells a story about the two demon-possessed. Matthew's account has two. Mark's has one. But this one says there's two, so we'll read it as it is. When He had come to the other side, the country of the Gergesenes, there met Him two demon-possessed men. These were some startling-looking guys, pretty well naked and all cut up and scarred up and bloody and hair hanging about and chains hanging about. And they come screaming up to Him, and, well, you can see the story. What have we to do with You, Jesus, they said. Son, You Son of God. And the story goes on, and we don't have time to look at it all because I think you know it anyway. Jesus simply said, go to the demons and these men. Go. And the Bible says, so when they had come out, they went into the herd of swine. And suddenly the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the water. You say, Jim, why are we looking at that? Because casting out demons is healing. Believe it or not, demons are still real today. still present today, still in our midst today, still inhabiting places and peoples today, and casting out demons is healing. Matthew 9, he goes on, verse 1, so he got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own city. Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed when Jesus saw their faith. What did he see? He saw these guys carrying their friend that was busted up in his body. And he saw their faith because he knew their hearts. Their hearts once again said, if I can only get him to the Master. If I can only get him to the Master, a touch of the Master's hand is all it'll take. And so the Bible says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you. And of course the scribes called that blasphemy. And you can read about that in verses 3 and 4, but I want to read to you what's in 6. And he said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. And he arose and he departed to the house. And when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God who had given such power to men. Now let me ask you something. I asked the service, the folks earlier this morning, because this question I ponder, what would happen if that kind of thing happened in America today? What would happen if there was a funeral procession going along like it was when Jesus stopped the hearse, or in that case, it was just people carrying. He said, hold the processional here, and laid his hand on the casket, and the boy came out. What would happen in America if that kind of a miracle happened today? Have you wondered about that? I've wondered about that. Because you know what? That kind of stuff is happening around the world. You say, Jim, are you kidding me? No, I'm not kidding you. People have been raised from the dead in third world countries. Why? Because God is showing himself strong there. He's wanting multitudes to come to know him in a personal way. I believe he's tried in America, and we give the glory to ourselves. Instead of going and glorifying God, I fear in America we're too hung up on ourselves. Instead of glorifying God when we know he has touched somebody. I mentioned to you a week or two ago, he's touched some of you. He's healed you. He's healed people in our midst. And we should be glorifying God for what he's doing in our midst. He is the same God that parted the sea. He's the same God that raised Lazarus from the dead. He's the same God that when you invite him into your heart today, that will transform your heart and your life. He's the same one. Verse 18 says, while he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live. Do you see the faith of this man? I don't know how well he knew Jesus, but he knew enough about him to put his faith in him. And he went to him and he said, my daughter is now dead. But come, he said, but come. And lay your hand on her, he said, that she will live. That's faith, brothers and sisters, that perhaps we need to exercise even more. That goes to the Master and says, God, I know you can do it. I know your will is just a touch of the Master's hand. You remember what Pastor Masih said? That's the other one, not Salak that was here 2 weeks ago. But the other Pakistani pastor said when he moved to Denver and they asked him, his kids were going to school, and they said to him, you got to have an insurance policy before your kids can come to school. He said, my insurance policy is really quite simple. It's John 3:16. If you need a number, put it down. That was his insurance. He said, that's where I put my faith. That's where I put my trust. I can't afford insurance. And I'm not saying anything bad about insurance. I'm just saying these people put Jesus first. They said, I'll trust in him first. And the other things, well, they'll come as I need them, I guess. And I'm not belittling. Please forgive me if it sounds like it. I'm not belittling people's lack of faith because we're not completely healed. But I am saying we serve the same God. And I am saying the God that can raise the dead in Africa and restore the sight to the blind in Pakistan, you heard him say it, can do it here. When America starts to focus on Christ instead of me, And I don't mean Jim, I mean ourselves, our pride, and what I can do. When we start to focus on Jesus, I believe amazing things will happen. I believe some are happening now. And I believe we need to glorify God when amazing things happen, because they are from God. God gets the glory. And this man comes to him and said, "My daughter has died, but just come and lay your hands on her and she will live." That's faith, brothers and sisters. That's faith in the Master. Just a touch of the Master's hand. He knew it. It's all it would take. And while he was going to this little girl that had passed away, suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment, and she said to herself, she was reasoning in her mind, she was reasoning in her heart, she was reasoning in her soul, "If I can just get close enough to touch the hem of the Master, I'll be well." She had been to doctors for years. She had tried the potions. She had tried the pills. And she finally said in her heart, "If I can just come and touch the hem of the Master's garment, I'll be well." She reasoned in her heart, the Bible said. If I can just touch his garment, the Bible says, in her heart she said in faith, "I shall be made well." Jesus, of course, knew what was going on. He turned around, and when he saw her, he said, "Be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well." He knew what was going on in her mind. He knew that she was there sneaking through the crowd, trying to just touch the hem of his garment. He knew what was going through her mind, because she said, "If only I can touch him, I'll be healed." He knew that. And he said, "Sister, your faith has made you well." And that 12-year-old issue was gone. Glory to God. And as he continued on to the ruler's house with the passed away daughter, natural tendencies were already happening. The mourners were there. They were crying and they were wailing and they were making the deal that they do in their mourning. The flute players, the Bible said, were already there. The noisy crowd was wailing. And Jesus simply said, "Make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And of course, they ridiculed him. But when the crowd was put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went out into all that land. Have you wondered what would happen if that happened in Motley or Staples or St. Cloud or Fargo? Have you wondered about that? The girl arose, just a touch of the Master's hand. You say, "Yeah, but Jim, Jesus isn't here now." Jesus is here now. He doesn't walk the streets of Nazareth like he did then, but his Spirit is here. He said, "I will not leave you alone." The Spirit of God is here. The Spirit of Christ is here. And he is the same, brothers and sisters, like I've said, that healed this girl. He's here today. The Bible says further in verse 27, Jesus departed from there. Two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you really believe I can do this?" That's what he said to them. Do you really believe it? And I think that's sometimes where we're at. Do you believe it, Jim? Do you believe that I can heal your wife even after 4 surgeries? Do you believe it of cancers? Do you believe it of broken bones? Do you believe it of all manner of things? And they said to him quite simply, "Yes, Lord, we believe it. We believe it." Isn't that good? "I believe you can do it." And he touched their eyes, the Bible says, and he said, "According to your faith, let it be to you." And their eyes were opened. And Jesus, of course, warned them, told them, "Don't tell anybody about this." Pretty hard to not tell about that kind of thing, isn't it? When Jesus touches you, just a little touch of the Master's hand, and you've been changed, radically changed in your heart, in your life, in your soul, in your body, whatever it is. Pretty hard to keep quiet about that, isn't it? And he goes on further. I'm not going to go over them, there's more. But he goes on further, and he talks about the mute man, made well, demon-possessed and mute, made well. He talks about, the Bible talks about him going into cities and villages in verse 35, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And I just want us to get the flavor, though, of the healing hand of the Master. And I don't want you to get the idea, well, Jim, I must not have faith enough because I'm not healed. That's not what I'm saying, and please don't take it that way. I'm saying, though, I want us to realize that Jesus indicated to those folks that were healed, it took their faith in Him. And they had faith in Him. And He healed them. But remember, too, what Pastor Salek said only 2 weeks ago or three, whenever it was he was here, that there are Muslims in Pakistan and Afghanistan having miracles done to them, too. And they're not believers yet. But when they have that miracle happen, they become followers of Jesus. He's still in the miracle-working business. He still is, brothers and sisters. You say, Jim, well, why am I not healed then? Well, answer me this. Why was Paul not healed then? Remember the account in 1 Corinthians when Paul says, God, please take this thorn from my flesh 3 times. Remember the reply? You know the reply. My grace, Paul. My grace is sufficient for you. You remember the account? I'm not going to answer why God doesn't heal here or there, but He heals. I know that. I've seen it amongst you. Or Johnny Erickson Tata. For 3 years she wrestled in her spirit. God, heal me. Why did you let me break my neck and get paralyzed from here down? I'm only a teenager. You know her story, most of you. She's still in her wheelchair. What is it, 35 years later now? She's still there, praising God, glorifying God. People all over the world know who she is. The lady in the wheelchair worshiping Jesus, claiming Jesus, and giving us a wheelchair. He used her in that state. He used Paul in his state. So I'm not gonna try to claim why God does this or that. He's God. All I know is He heals. And He challenged His disciples in Mark 6, 12 and 13. And it says, so when they went out and preached that people should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick, and they healed them. We have seen, folks, we have seen a whole lot of hurts. Even in our church, even in our families, we have seen the cancers abound in young and old alike. We have seen kidneys failing and MS and surgeries unlimited. Can't even count them. Heart problems, broken bones, breathing problems, you name it. My point is simply this. We have seen plenty of sickness and disease, but we have also seen the hand of God in people's lives. And I just happen to believe that we serve the same Jesus that raised that little girl from the dead that day. I just happen to believe that we serve the same Jesus that said to the leprous man, I am willing, be cleansed. I just happen to believe that if people, His people, will seek the face of God in prayer and fasting, amazing things continue to happen. I'm not saying our faith is not where it should be. You know that with your relationship with God. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying He's still in the miracle-working business. Let me close with this. James 5, 13 to 16. James says to the church, to the scattered, is any among you suffering? Let him pray. You know what? That's not a bad idea. Instead of using prayer as the last resort, maybe prayer should be the first resort. James quite simply says, is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs, psalms. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And so I want to challenge us this morning. If you want to be prayed for because of addictions, physical trauma to your body, emotional strain on your heart, loneliness, depression, if you want to be prayed over to know Jesus in a personal way, we want to invite you to do that today. Praise team, are you ready? Let's take our positions. We're going to sing this song again. We're going to sing this song, Wonderful, Merciful Savior. And James simply says here, is any among you suffering or anyone among you sick? Let him pray. And if there's confession that we need to do, then we need to do it. But come to Jesus believing in the power, the healing, transforming power of Jesus to save you if you don't know Him personally. To anoint you if you're struggling with something else. James says, call the elders of the church and anoint with oil those that would desire that, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. Brothers and sisters, if we never prayed the prayer of faith to be saved, we're not ready for heaven. We're not part of His kingdom. We're not part of His children. Jim, you say that's a little coarse, Jim. Well, we need to know Him. Jesus, brothers and sisters, friends, Jesus is the answer. Let's close in prayer. Gracious and eternal God, we have come before You this morning pouring our hearts out, pouring our lives before You, thanking You and praising You for what You have done in our hearts and our lives, our congregation, our community. And pouring out before You, Father, we are vulnerable, weak people that need a touch of the Master's hand. And so, God, we praise You and glorify You this morning for what You have done. Strengthened, healed, encouraged. We praise You for what You're going to do in strengthening bodies, healing bodies, encouraging hearts, mending families, reconciling people to Yourself, reconciling husbands and wives to one another. We pray, we give You the praise, all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory, O God. You are worthy of our praise. And so, God, as we go from this place today, we praise You for who You are. We ask You, Heavenly Father, to continue to transform hearts, hearts that were wandering and wandering to hearts that are found and joyous in Jesus. Continue to transform lives. Continue to transform our churches, O God, to be the light of our communities that You so desire us to be. Continue to use us in the churches, Father, to be the voice of Jesus, to be the light of the world, to proclaim the goodness and glory of God. Use us, Father, for Your glory. Thank You again for what You have done, for what You're doing, and for what You're going to do. Dismiss us now with Your grace, Your mercy, Your leading, Your healing, Your reconciling hand, Father. Dismiss us, I pray, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.